ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 24, Text 8, Text 6, Worshipping Govardhan Hill. Gyatva gyatva cha karmani jano yam anutishtati Vishuddha karma siddhi syad yatha na viduso bhavet. Gyatva gyatva cha karmani jano yam anutishtati vidusha karma siddhi syad yatha na viduso bhavet. Gyatva gyatva cha karmani jano yam anutishtati vidusha karma siddhi syad yatha na viduso bhavet. Matajis? Gyatva, understanding. Agyatva, not understanding. Cha, also. Karmani, activities. Janaha, the common people. Ayam, these. Anutishtati, perform. Vidushaha, for one who is wise. Karma siddhi, achievement of the intended goal of activity. Syat, arises. Yatha, as. Na, not. Avidushaha, for one who is foolish. Bhavet occurs. Translation. When people in this world perform activities, sometimes they understand what they are doing, and sometimes they don't. Those who know what they are doing achieve success in their work, whereas ignorant people do not. Purport. The Lord here informs his father that people should perform a particular ceremony or activity only after thoroughly understanding it through discussion with friends. We should not be blind followers of tradition. If a person doesn't even know what he is doing, how can he be successful in his work? This essentially is the Lord's argument in this verse. Since Sri Krishna, as the young child of Nanda, would naturally be expected to show enthusiasm for his father's religious activities, it was the father's duty to give the son a thorough explanation of the ceremony. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutle Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesa Sunyavari Paschati Desatarini Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tirubhyascha Kipa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Now here we have Krishna speaking to his father. At this point in the Krishna Lila that we're reading through in the 10th canto, it's explained by Srila Jiva Goswami in the first verse of this chapter that Sukadeva Goswami was in so much ecstasy of love. He was describing these lila out of chronological context. For instance, the previous chapter, we heard about the Brahmanis and how they received the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Then Sri Jiva Goswami, he goes on to give the actual chronological order of these pastimes so that we can understand Krishna's age and the different stages that he's in his development, and therefore how the devotees interact with him according to his age and development. At this time, Krishna is 7 years and 2 months old. That means he's begun the 8th year of his appearance here. When he just turned 7 years, we heard about the Dainuka Lila. And that evening, for the first time, the gopis in verse 43 of that chapter, they expressed their loving affection for Krishna. So this beginning of the 7th year was the beginning of Krishna's Kaisura Lila, where he manifested or began to manifest his 64 qualities in fullness. Previous to that, for instance, when he was in Balya Lila, as a little baby, he could hardly speak, he was learning words, he could hardly talk. So his qualities were within him, latent, but not fully manifest. Then during Pokhanda age, he was able to manifest more and more qualities. Now in the beginning of this Kaisura age, everything is starting to manifest in fullness and sweetness. So after the Dainuka Lila, which occurred in Bhadra, because that's when the tala fruits are ripe, then as we know here in Vrindavan, next comes Ashwini, which is what we're in right now. Ashwini month is the time when a lot of ritualistic ceremonies are going on. This, perhaps you noticed, those who are here in Mangal Artik, we had Amavasya a few days ago. That's the day when everyone does their shraddh. Everyone's satisfying their pitris, trying to help them get elevated to pitri loka. And normally we distribute over 1,000 books a day. That day we distributed 400 books because everyone was busy with something other than devotional service. Very few people came to the temple on that day. Although some devotees, they were very smart, and they did their offerings to Krishna Balaram at the temple. So this Ashvini, now coming up, we're in just the beginning of Navaratri, when these 9 days are dedicated to Durga Devi and then the big Durga Puja. Now here that's not so popular, but in places like Bengal, everything shuts down for these days. And they worship Durga Devi with great pomp, and then begins Kartik. So during Kartik, which is a month of Damodar, Srimati Radharani's month, that's a month when Krishna is worshipped. And this pastime took place because his birthday is Bhadra, when he was 7 years and 2 months old. That's Kartik. Krishna was seeing that Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men were very busy preparing for some ceremony. Now, he had seen it in previous years, but as a small child, it didn't pay much attention to him. Now that he's attained a little bit more maturity, he became curious and interested. What is my father doing? And as the father's son, he has to train him in religious ceremonies. So he inquires now, "Father, what are you doing? What's the purpose of what you're doing?" Now, Krishna has his reasons for rejecting the Indra Puja and performing the Govardhan ceremony. His reasons will be manifest as this pastime unfolds. His first reason for stopping the Indra Puja was to break the pride, the Garva Kandan, to break the pride of Lord Indra, who had forgotten that he is a simple servant of the Lord. The second is to satisfy the Brijbasis. Now, when Krishna first appeared after the birth ceremony, in due course of time, when Gargamuni came and Nanda Maharaj invited him to do the name-giving ceremony, Gargamuni, he hid the fact that this is the Supreme Lord as your son, because Nanda Maharaj wouldn't be able to accept that. But he hinted that this child, he is almost equal to Narayan, and he has the special mercy of the Supreme Lord. And he will protect you and all of the Brijbasis. Therefore, you have to take very special care of him in his childhood. So Nanda Maharaj understood that he had a very special son. He tried to protect him as best he could. Therefore, they came to Vrindavan to get away from the childhood demons there in Gokul. They brought him here near Govardhan. And Krishna, he wanted to satisfy his loving devotees in Braja in two ways. He wanted to protect them, and he wanted to allow them to have uninterrupted darshan. Now, they would see him every day, but according to their different rasas, their view of him was obstructed. In the morning time, yes, the parents and the elderly gopis and gopas, they would get to see Krishna in his home, but then he would run out with the cows and the cowherd boys, and they were left devastated until he came back. And that separation was sometimes intolerable. Then he would be with his boyfriends during the daytime. But then he would come home in the evening and the boys couldn't be with him anymore to play. And then at night, that's when he would be with his girlfriends. So no one could be with him then except for the girlfriends. So according to the rasas, they had particular times that they could be with Krishna, and it couldn't be all day and night because of the conflict, the rasabhasa, of the different relationships. Now, in this pastime, Krishna was all at the same time for 7 days uninterrupted going to give his devotees full darshan of him, and there would be no rasabhasa. Just as later we'll read, when Krishna went to Mathura, he was a little over 11 years old by that time, and he was in the wrestling arena. Now, when everyone saw him in the wrestling arena, all of the 12 rasas came to perfection. Some saw him as the supreme Brahman, some saw him as their lover, some saw him as their friend. Some, they were very worried about him. They were horrified that this little boy was going to fight with these wrestlers. So all the 12, the 7 major and the 5 minor rasas, were fully manifest in that arena with Krishna in the center. So now, in Braj, this same opportunity is going to happen by Krishna's arrangement of fulfilling all these purposes at the same time. Now, Indra, according to Rupa Goswami, the demigods, they are in Dasyaras. They are called Atikrityas. That means they have particular posts of service. Just like we may get a post sometimes, your temple commander, your temple president, you're a pujari. It's a post. And according to our qualification and what's needed, we're given that post. So these Adikritya dasas, they are the demigods. Now sometimes the word deva is used both as demigods and as the residents of the heavenly planets. Now, the residents, due to their punya, they were able to become elevated to reside in the heavenly planets. But when their punya runs out, they fall down again. And these demigods also, they are ordinary living entities who are dependent upon the results of their karmakandi activities, their punya, and that was why they qualified to get these positions. It's not that Indra isn't in any way on the same level as the Supreme Lord. He's completely dependent upon the Supreme Lord. And this is what Krishna wanted to bring out to the Brijbasis. Now, in Braja, anyone who lives in Braja, it means that they are 100% pure devotees of the Lord. But we see in many instances that there's demigod worship going on. Srimati Radharani, she worships Surya Bhagavan. Nanda Maharaj, he worships his Shalagram Shila. The gopis, they worship Katyayani. Chandravali, she worshiped Durga. And here, by tradition, all tradition and custom, Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men are going to worship Indra. So Krishna, he wants to stop this completely. That there is, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 3rd chapter, Krishna recommends, he said, I gave yajnas whereby which you can get rain, from the rain you can get so much prosperity. So he explained the whole system of yajna in the 3rd chapter. But then later in Bhagavad Gita, he rejected it. He said, those who worship the demigods, it means they have material desires, and there's no reason to worship the demigods. Krishna often gives arguments. In the 2nd chapter, he gave so many arguments, not arguments, but presentations about the nature of the soul, how the soul is eternal. And he gives these explanations according to what his conversation is with the devotees and what result he wants in that relationship. So now we're going to hear from Krishna, atheistic, karmakandi, shankhya, and nyaya philosophy. And that's because he wants to convince them that you listen to me. You're my devotees. You're here because you love me. I will protect you. Don't worry about the wrath of the demigods if you don't worship them. You simply worship me. And he also did this in a very special manner because in Vrindavan, the majority of the community was Vaishyas. The Vaishyas have 4 occupations. They farm, they trade their extra agricultural products, they do cow protection, and if nothing else, they do banking. So Krishna says, he explains to them that all you have to do is your prescribed duties. Because the demigods, they are bound to give you the reactions of your karma. It's the laws of nature. The karma mimamsas, they're actually atheistic. They say even if there is a God, he's also bound to give the results of karma. Therefore, if you just perform your prescribed duties, the Supreme Lord and the demigods, they are forced to give you the reactions. So therefore, just do your duty, do your karma very nicely. That's karma mimamsa. In Karmakandia, which comes from the Vedas, it's not atheistic. It's a gradual process for developing our faith in the Lord. So Karmakandia, there are many promises given. And Krishna explains that those promises are often exaggerated. If you do this, you'll get that. It's a business, you know. You do this, you'll get that. You do more, you'll get more. And these promises are to increase our faith. Because when you do it, you get that. Now, sometimes they exaggerate to the point where they say, if you engage in this activities, you'll get liberation. But it is impossible to get liberation by engaging in Karmakandia activities. Only the Supreme Lord can fulfill that desire for liberation. Now, when Krishna tells his father that just do your prescribed duties, so Nanda Maharshi objected. He said, well, that's not always true. And he gave examples that a physician, he can give the best medicine, the best treatment, but the patient might still die. Therefore, it's by the will of the Lord whether the patient lives or not. The parents, they might give the best attention and love to their child, but the child might turn bad or the child might succumb to death. So, therefore, there is an aspect of the will of the Supreme Lord, whether all that we do in our karma is successful or not. That's why in this verse, Krishna says, you have to know what you're doing. You have to know what your goal is. Otherwise, you're foolish. So tell me, what is the goal of this sacrifice? So there are... Prabhupada, he often tells stories to give a principle. There are some stories, for instance, Prabhupada, when he talks about union and diversity within our society, he tells the story from Aesop's Fables that a father gave his sons a bag full of sticks, and he told the sons, break the sticks, and as hard as they tried, because the sticks were all together, they couldn't break them. And then he opened the bag, and one by one, they took out the sticks and broke one by one. He said, this is why we all have to stay together. So when it comes to blind following, which is what Krishna is more or less accusing Nanda Maharaj of doing, that you're just doing this out of custom, out of tradition, what is the real reason why you're doing it? If you're actually a pure devotee, why are you worshiping a demigod? So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he gives two stories about why we shouldn't be blind followers. One is very short. He just gives an example. You'll see this here in Braj and the outer regions. When it's the hot season, the sheep will all come. They come down to the Jamuna for water. And at the front of the sheep is a head sheep, the male sheep. Now, he's called the bellwether because he wears a bell, and wherever that bell goes, all the other sheep follow behind him. Now, if that head sheep falls into a ditch, all the other sheep fall into the ditch with him. And if that sheep falls into water, all the other sheep follow and they fall into the water also. So this is the fallacy of being a blind follower. Don't just follow without seeing where you're going. And then he gives a little more elaborate description, and we can see where we are in this. He said there was a a Raja, and he had some collectors, you know, tax collectors. Now, one of them worshipped the Raja just like he was the Supreme Lord, was always flattering him, and was always getting so many gifts from the king as a result of this nice exchange. And he explained to the others that the reason I get so much benefit is because I worship him so nicely. And I worship him to get the benefits. So he was just doing this out of business. He knew what he had to do to please their king, and he got what he wanted. There was another one. He didn't do anything, and his only desire was to become the king. And the third one, the first one, his name was Kama. We can understand why. The second one, his name was Mukti Charan, because he just wanted to get out of the whole system and become the king himself. And the third one, his name was Haridas. And he explained to the other two, no. You have to worship the Lord, your king, simply as the representative of the Supreme Lord and see his family members and all of his other associates. Because they're associated with him, you should also offer respects to them. So this Haridas, he saw everything properly. And it's in this way that we approach the demigods. Rupa Goswami, he gives one of the angas of devotional service that we should not disrespect the demigods. Yes, we should offer them respects because they're devotees of the Lord. They're doing very, very high service to maintain the universe. But they can never replace the Supreme Lord. Now, there's something here called Panchopasana Upasana, Panchopasana. Now, this comes under the second one, the Mukti Charan. They take five different deities. They take Surya, Ganesh, Shakti, Rudra, and an imagined form of Vishnu. They worship them, just like a little bit before we had Ganesh Puja. They had the Ganesh Puja, and then what did they do to Ganesh? They threw him in the water. They broke him, right? That's a part of their puja, to break their deity. So these Panchopashanis, they worship the deity, and then they break them with the understanding that now they have attained Brahman because they've gotten rid of all of these forms of the Lord. So this is highly atheistic. Therefore, we have to, when we decide what we're going to do, first we have to see what is the goal we're trying to reach. Where do we want to go? And then we have to find out the proper Vedic process, how to attain that goal. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you worship the ghosts, you go to the ghosts. If you go worship the putris, you go to Pitri Loka. And if you worship me, you come to me. So we have to, in our own life, set our goal. And then we have to practice throughout our life. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he did that. He was given instruction by his spiritual master. I want you to preach in the Western world in the English language. Despite all of the disturbances going on, his family life, the mutt breaking down, being all alone, being poverty stricken, how to get to the West, he just kept that goal in his mind, the instruction of his spiritual master. Now, this is what Krishna is teaching the Brijbasis here. He says, you love me. You're all Brijbasis. You've all taken your birth here. I've appeared here so you can love me and worship me. Now listen to me. He says, you just perform your duties as the Vaishya. You do these things. And where is Indra? You've been performing this Indra Yajna for so many years. Have you ever seen him? Has he ever come here? No, it's all your imagination. But as Vaishyas, who is it that we actually take shelter of? Who gives our cows shelter? That's Govardhan. And who teaches us how to perform the yajna rites, That's the Brahmins. We're very dependent upon the Brahmins and Govardhan Hill. Therefore, you take all of this paraphernalia that you're collecting for Indra, and you worship the Brahmins, you worship the cows, and you worship Govardhan Hill. And when they did that, he told them all the things they should prepare, rice and dal and pakoras and halava. So the Brijbasis, they love Krishna so much. They were willing to give up this blind following of the demigod worship. And despite their fear, what was going to happen if they didn't worship Indra, they just did what Krishna told them to do. They took all the paraphernalia and all around Govardhan Hill, it was quite big at that time, they made ponds of yogurt and milk and ghee. They made hills made out of pua and malpura. They decorated just like we have in our courtyard here, a small version. That's not imaginary worship. That's exactly what the Brijbasis did on that day. They made beautiful decoration, and because there are thousands of Brijbasis, they all got the opportunity to bring all of their products, their milk products, what they had cooked. The vegetables looked like colorful pigments on the hill. It was just beautiful, the offerings they made. And then Krishna, he was a little boy, he manifests a huge form separate from himself. Huge, magnificent form who spoke to the Brijbasis. He says, now I will eat all of your offerings. You see, I am the Supreme Lord. I can appear whenever I want. And he ate all of their offerings. And not only did he do that, on the ore, bring me more, bring me more. And as he ate, he grew. He got bigger and bigger as he was eating their offerings. So then the Brijbasis, they had full faith. They loved Krishna so much because he appeared before them. And Krishna was right there also worshiping himself. He does that sometimes. Then he told them, he said, now you all do parikrama of this Govardhan Hill. And you can even go in your conveyances. You can go in your wagons, any way you want. You worship Govardhan, you do parikrama. And anyone who doesn't take part in this puja, there are many snakes on the hill, and those snakes will bite them and they'll die. He says, anyone who engages in this Govardhan puja, they will take birth in Braja, they will become wealthy, they will become beautiful, and they will have a long life. And anyone who engages in Indra puja, they will become ugly, poverty-stricken, blind, and old. That's the condition we're in right now. So we have to really worship Govardhan Puja if we want the mercy of Krishna, because that's what he's telling all the Brijbasis to do. So we have a choice in our life. We have to set our goals, and then we have to find out from our friends. Who are our friends? The devotees, our guru, they're our real friends. Find out, how do I reach this goal? Hopefully everyone's goal here is going back to the spiritual world and associating with the Supreme Lord. So, we have the greatest opportunity here in Vrindavan. We have Govardhan Puja, it's walking distance, Govardhan Hill, walking distance. We can go there anytime, especially we can go there at the time of the Govardhan Puja. If we can't do that, we do it here. We have to take these instructions given by Krishna to the Brijbasis and apply these in our life. And then our life also becomes successful. Now at this time, even when Krishna was bound up in the coils of Kaliya here, and all the Brijbasis ran to see him, they saw he was completely covered by those coils. None of them could do anything. So they prayed to Krishna. Krishna, please, please free yourself. And when he saw how much they were suffering, he freed himself. Because he saw, I don't want to cause my devotees so much difficulty. So when Indra heard all of the singing and the dancing and all of the ceremonies going on that day, he got an earache. And he went to the Ashvini Kumars. And the Ashvini Kumars, they said, this earache is being caused by all of this singing that's going on down in Govardhan. And it's just like a sword going into your ears. He became so envious. Who is this little boy? Now, this is what's being explained in this purport. There is thorough understanding and there is misunderstanding. Krishna, he can cause anyone to misunderstand. He even caused Balaram to misunderstand for 1 year. Balaram was seeing the unusual behavior of the mothers, of the cows, of the cowherd men, but he couldn't understand what was going on. Krishna kept that secret from him for a whole year. So there's misunderstanding sometimes in Krishna's pastimes to evoke more pastimes. Then when Balaram found out, and the pastimes continued, actually he got angry at Krishna, didn't come that day, and again, so then Brahma, he also misunderstood. Who is this little boy? All the demigods came to worship him after he had killed Aga. Brahma came down in his swan carrier. They're worshiping this little boy. He's eating with his left hand, and he's the Supreme Lord, the same one that the Brahmins do so many yajnas for. So he didn't believe it. Misunderstanding. There are many misunderstandings to increase the bliss of the Leelas of the Supreme Lord. Gandhari, out of affection for her son, she cursed Krishna. Your whole family will also die, just like you caused my family to die. And then we have Jayan Vijay. They couldn't recognize the four Kumaras. So many misunderstandings that cause the beautiful pastimes that we read about in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we can become overcome by misunderstandings. We have to be very careful. We have to see things through the eyes of Shastra, and we have to take shelter of our superior devotees who maybe have had experience with this misunderstanding, and they can help you through difficulties. Sometimes we don't understand what the goal of life is. Sometimes we forget. Money. We think, well, if I get a lot of... Even Srila Prabhupada, he said when his spiritual master first gave him the instruction, he thought, well, I'm a family man, I have my wife, I have a child now, I have my father. How can I take part in the mutt activities? Let me make money. I'll make a lot of money. And then I can help the mutt in that way. So he tried to make money. Was it possible? No. It was only when Krishna completely smashed him that he was able to carry out the duty that his spiritual master gave him. So sometimes we think that if I just do this, then I'll be able to advance in Krishna consciousness. But we have to remember, we always have to take the advice of our spiritual master and senior devotees who have had experience with this process of understanding devotional service. And then we're safe. So that's as much as I can remember to say about this verse. If there are any questions, we can open up for discussion.
Yes, there are descriptions.
again by Jiva Goswami in the Gopal Champu, he gives a very full description of the beauty of that form that he took, how big it is, how he was able to eat everything in that huge form. And in fact, he goes into detail. After this beautiful form of Govardhan Krishna finished eating, he was so big that he took bamboo sticks and used them as toothpicks. Now, Prabhupada also, he had toothpicks. And he would use the toothpicks after he ate. Now, one devotee saw him using the toothpick, and he thought, oh, Prabhupada cleans his teeth after he eats. Let me brush my teeth. So he started to brush his teeth after eating. And Prabhupada said, no, you don't brush your teeth after eating. You use a toothpick because that's all prasadam in your mouth. So, yes, that description is there. If you're interested, both Kushikrata Prabhu and Banu Swami, they have translated the Gopal Champu, and you can read those beautiful descriptions. Very elaborate, a whole Purana, the 18th Purana, is a description of this pastime. Because during this month, all right, Krishna was 7 years and 2 months when this particular incident took place. It happened, there was Diwali, that's the middle of Kartik. And then the day before Diwali, there's 5 days of celebration. Is Dhanteras, when you get everything very bright and shiny and clean. Then on the Amavasya, the next Amavasya, that's Diwali. And then the next day was the Govardhan Puja, right? And then the next day was what's called Baiduj. Baiduj is when all the Brijbasis, after they did this beautiful ceremony in Govardhan, they then all went together to the Jamuna. And they worshipped the Jamuna, and they worshipped her brother, Yamaraj. Because brother and sister, on that day, it's also the day when Krishna, after he killed Narakasura, he went to see Subhadra and she worshipped him. And it's a day when sisters worship their brothers. Now, we have a similar day that's worshipped here by tradition that's called Raksha Bandhan. For us, it's Balaram's appearance day. Now, here in the very early days, one devotee, I won't mention any names because I don't want to embarrass them, she thought, oh, she saw, we do this happen sometimes when we come to Vrindavan in the very, you know, we come to Vrindavan, we see the Brijbasis doing so many things that Prabhupada didn't teach us. So she saw everyone was, you know, putting the rakhi on their brothers and on their friends and things like that. So she brought a rakhi and put it on the temple president. And and Prabhupada was here at that time. And he completely smashed it. He said, no, this has nothing to do with the Vaishnava tradition. So sometimes Prabhupada would take his morning walks here. One time he went to a beautiful place here. It's called the Rangaji Bagicha. You can all go there. It's a beautiful park for the Rangaji temple, for Rangaji and his consort to enjoy there. So Prabhupada was taking a morning walk there, and one devotee said to Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, devotees are doing things differently that you never taught us now. They take old Brahmin threads and wrap it around their wrist, and they, after they do Abhishek, they tear up the cloth and wrap that around their wrist, and they're wearing all these fancy neck beads now. Is this right? Is this okay to do, Prabhupada? And he told another proverb in English. It's, crows eat stool, but young crows eat more stool. So he, the old crows, that's us, you know, we know you're supposed to, wear three and not wear all these things all over the place because we never saw Prabhupada do it. You know, we've learned that already. You just keep it simple and then you don't have to imitate what you see all over Brudge. But the young crows, they eat more stool. And that means, hey, that looks really cool, or I'm going to get a tattoo. And Prabhupada told us to wear the, Trinadapi Sunil. I'm going to get a tattoo of Trinadapi around my neck so I can always, so this is the young crows eating more stool. We never saw Prabhupada do these things. He kept it so simple. And when you keep it simple, then you can use all your energy to serve your spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. So we have to be very careful not to blindly follow, because there's so many different rituals going on here in Braj. It's not what Prabhupada taught us. He gave us particular festivals to observe, and if we... And where did he learn this? From his spiritual master. His spiritual master, in order to keep all of the matvasis active all the time, he would constantly have festivals. And when one festival was over, they'd be preparing for the next festival. And that's exactly the way our life is in temple life. One festival's over, we have a half a day to recover, and then next festival, oh, we got to prepare, we got to collect, we got to do this, we got... So our whole life is full of festivals, especially here in Vrindavan. So we have to mold our life like that, according to Prabhupada's instructions, and not be new crows. And if we have questions that are not fully answered in the Srimad Bhagavatam as translated by Prabhupada and his disciples, now, by the mercy of our senior god brothers, we have the books of the six Goswamis where we can get more information, and that way we can become more enlivened when we're engaging in these different festivals and services. So there's no harm in reading Gopal Champo. It's right here. It's in the library. And you can read the beautiful descriptions of this Govardhan Puja and this Govardhan Leela. You have to speak loudly.
About this demigod worship.
Yes.
Can you give me more like explanation, like up to what degree you can tell me, like especially in India, now Navaratri is going on, different Buddhas, Shri Buddhas, so how a Vaishnava should deal with it?
Okay. So right now we have Navaratri going on, that's for Durga Puja. One young new brahmachari came and joined here, was Bengali. And Prabhupada was here, and it was Navaratri time. And in Bengal, everyone goes to see their mother at that time. They worship their mother. So Prabhupada was coming out of his house, and the brahmachari, very, very humbly, he was just completely confused. Should I do what, tradition is? Should I leave Vrindavan and go see my mother, or should I stay here? So he asked Prabhupada in Bengali, he said, should I go see my mother? And Prabhupada just glared at him. So another devotee asked Prabhupada, this was when the Gaudiya Math broke down and they sold the printing press, there was no more books to distribute. Prabhupada gave them his Back to Godhead magazine to distribute, and they were going around distributing, and people were saying, why are you worshiping Krishna? We all worship Devi here in Bengal. They weren't interested in worshiping Krishna. And they didn't know how to answer the question, why are you worshiping Krishna? So they came back to Prabhupada and asked him. So he said to them, these young boys, brahmacharis, he said, oh, you just ask them. He said, you look at Devi when you do the Kali Puja. What kind of prasad do you get? You get blood. You get meat. And who are your associates? Demons, atheists, dacoits. So you want to associate with those people if you worship Kali, or you want to associate with Krishna? When you worship Krishna, what kind of prasadam do you get? You get beautiful sandesh, raskula, kheer. And who are your associates? The beautiful Vaikunthavasi devotees, all clean and brilliant and dancing and singing. So you choose We don't have to philosophically explain it to you. Which do you want? So this is how Prabhupada was able to explain why we worship Krishna. He has the best prasadam and the best devotees also. So that's why we worship Krishna, and we're not interested in the demigod worship, although we see that the Brijbasis, due to tradition, they were worshiping, and it was all part of the Leela. Just like Srimati Radharani, why did she worship Suryadev? So that she could meet Krishna every day, because he was the pujari. So all of this type of demigod worship within Braja, that's all to facilitate the pastimes of the Lord. Speak clearly and slowly.
I just said that recently there is a Kamala or Sutta Matka and some big movies.
Yes.
But what also works is the Guru, and in very few meetings, the Guru gives the person a Sutta.
Yes.
We should go and please ourselves. So, what should we all do if we go to our Sutta Matka and we remember the personal instructions? What should we do?
Personal instructions are in Prabhupada's books. The instructions in Prabhupada's books are his personal instructions, his personal ecstasies. They're meant for all of us. So if you didn't have the opportunity, who is your Guru Maharaj?
Radha.
So he's here?
He's awesome.
Yes, of course you should ask. While he's present, as much as possible, you should get the association and try to serve him, his Vapu, while he's present, right? And if you don't get the opportunity, just like many of Prabhupada's later disciples, they never even got to meet Prabhupada. They were in Venezuela and, you know, different parts of the world. But they had all of Prabhupada's instructions in his books. It's not that Prabhupada will give you a different instruction if you ask him for a personal instruction. It's all the same instructions. So you can pick any of those instructions in Prabhupada's books, make them your life and soul. There won't be any discrepancy between having a personal instruction from your Guru Maharaj and what Prabhupada's saying in his books, if you don't get the opportunity. But while your Guru Maharaj is present, try your best to get some personal instructions from him. Then your life becomes very clear. Even if he just says, chant Hare Krishna. Okay, I'm going to chant Hare Krishna. I'll make my life Sankirtan. What could be easier? It's a perfect life.
I want to share on this point that one time Vishal Prabhu was mentioning that he asked Prabhupada how to describe his God devotee. And Prabhupada put it very nicely in 6 words: chant Hare Krishna and spread Hare Krishna. And personally, I can see a pretty inspiring way. Everything in our life is filled between these two instructions.
Yes. Yes.
And what did Shri Prabhupada do? He chanted Hare Krishna, and in everything he spread Hare Krishna.
Right. Right.
And what do I see in Sri Prabhupada's life? He's my spiritual guru, my spiritual master. Any sincere version of this?
That's all they're doing. Chant Hare Krishna and spread Hare Krishna. Yes. Yes.
You don't want to blindly follow, you want to be submissive, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But you may not agree with what the authority is saying, so you might think that, well, to what degree am I following, to what degree should I not blindly follow, maybe he's wrong.
Yes. Yes, we had that experience even within our society. There was a GBC whose wife had, she had... She was serving at the Sunday feast egg rolls, and the devotees strongly objected. And well, you were all mleches and meat eaters before. What's a little bit of eggs? So the devotees, they were outraged. So they immediately wrote to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada stopped it. You know, he removed the GBC. There was a yajna performed. Everything was done for purification. But Prabhupada said that the devotees who were simply following the orders of their authorities, they're not to be held responsible. But the temple authorities are to be held responsible because they have to be able to discriminate. And immediately they wrote to Prabhupada and it all got cleared up. So we can't lose our discrimination. In sadhana bhakti, sometimes we're told to do things, we don't know why. Why we offer our obeisances with the left side, and why we do this, why we circumambulate. We don't know why we're doing it. But gradually, we learn why. So this is that process of sadhana bhakti. Before we fully understand what we're doing, just by practice, eventually, the knowledge will come by reading, by association, and we'll understand why we're doing what we're doing. Okay? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.